Good morning, Potter's Forest Square Church. Pastor Paula here. I'm sitting in for Pastor Greg this morning, and we are continuing in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. So if you've got your Bibles out, you might want to go ahead and turn there. Last week, we talked about the cost of following Jesus, and today we're going to come to understand a little more what that looks like, what that cost is to follow Jesus when the disciples face an unexpected storm. We may never experience a storm at sea the way that the disciples do or did, but we do experience many storms in life. Following Jesus does not make us exempt from the storms of life. In fact, currently we're all in a storm of life called COVID-19, and we say we're all in this together, and we truly are. You know, but as individuals, we're also in various other storms of life. Some that may have appeared since COVID-19, but many that may have already been there before COVID-19 hit. You know, there could be illness, there could be marital strife, there could be grief, there could even be sin. These are all different types of storms in life. This morning's passage is going to remind us, however, that Jesus is with us in our storms. He is there in the midst of every storm that we go through. We're going to be reminded that we can trust him in our storms. You know, he is a faithful God, and we can trust him with our life. We can trust him with the situations because he knows the plans that he has for us, for a hope and a future, you know, for no harm to come to us. And he loves us greatly, and he's sovereign. And we're also going to learn that he has authority over our storms, right? Just that one alone should bring peace to our heart, knowing that he has the authority over our storms. So if you've got your Bibles open to our text, it reads, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would give us understanding, give us ears to hear, and hearts to receive all that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So a few observations that I had, actually I have several. So we have this severe storm, and it just comes out of nowhere. It's very severe in nature. The waves are crashing over the boat. That must be really frightening. I, for one, get seasick. I'm not a real big fan of boats. So if I was in the midst of a storm, I don't know how I would react. And speaking of how I would react, you know, we have the disciples, and they're panicking. Now, a few of these disciples in the boat were experienced fishermen. So, you know, my question is, why would they be afraid? Certainly, they've experienced this sort of thing before, and they would know what to do. But, you know, as it said, you know, this was a very severe storm. It came up all of a sudden. They would not have gotten in the boat if there was already bad weather. They would have known not to do that as experienced fishermen. But, you know, this obviously sounded like one of those perfect storms you hear about where there was no getting out of it. There was really no hope. You know, perhaps the other disciples that weren't fishermen were adding to the fear and the confusion that this storm may have been bringing. We don't really know. But my second observation was, you know, where was Jesus during all of this? Well, Jesus was sleeping. So in their fear and desperation, they wake Jesus up. I don't know if they had tried things prior to even waking him, if they tried to, you know, keep the boat steady, you know, probably took the sails down, whatever was necessary in this kind of a wind raging around them. But they go in, they finally wake up Jesus, and they're like, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." In Mark's version, they said, "Lord, don't you care if we drown? Really? Don't you care if we drown?" These men had walked with Jesus. They had seen his love and his compassion for others. So yeah, he cared, but they were afraid. They were in that moment of fear, and their faith was lacking, as we see by Jesus's response. I mean, before he even rebukes the winds and the waves, he says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" How often are we like that with Jesus? You know, he looks and says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Because if I was in that boat, I'd be like, "Why are you yelling at us? Could you just stop, calm this storm, and then yell at us all you want? You know, rebuke them. Stop this, because we're really afraid." But Jesus knows the better direction to go. He says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Almost a way of trying to soothe us, to say, "You don't need to be afraid. I'm right here. I'm going to calm the storm. It's okay." So with just a word, Jesus calms the storm. Again, in Mark's gospel, he says that he spoke to the waves and said, "Be quiet, be still," and all was calm. The disciples are amazed and they say, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." They're still asking, "What kind of man is this?" Had they had seen what Jesus has done. They had believed that he is who he said he was, but it doesn't sound like it had totally settled deep within their hearts to really strengthen their faith and have that. And again, you know, how often are we so much like the disciples in different areas of our life and different storms that we find ourselves in at times? So in going deeper, the first thing that I have is storms of life are inevitable. You know, again, you know, the remarkable thing about this storm is that, you know, it came at a time when the disciples were simply following Jesus. He had already called all of the disciples, and they had seen him heal many people, and they were with him on the Sermon of the Mount, and they heard him expound on the Ten Commandments and, you know, teaching them what to go deeper in it, that it was really a matter of the heart. And coming down from that, he heals a leper. He heals the centurion's son, or the centurion's slave. And, you know, when he goes to Peter's house, he heals even more and casts out demons. And, you know, a lot of crowds following him. And so things were going good, and they were obeying Jesus, and they were a part of this, and they were learning from him. And then they get into this boat with him, and the next thing you know, there's this unexpected storm. We're a lot like this, you know. Following Jesus doesn't mean that we're on easy street. Just when things seem to be going well, a storm hits. You know, we get saved, and we're being discipled, and we're in God's word regularly, and we're faithfully praying and fasting. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, tragedy strikes. A storm has risen in our life. And we're like, "Whoa, where did this come from? Lord, are you there? Can you see that I'm drowning? I need you. Do you even care?" You know, this last year and a half, our church has experienced some unexpected storms with great loss. You know, in our own pastor, Pastor Greg, he lost his son unexpectedly. That was a storm that no one could have seen coming. And it really just knocked him to the ground. Like, you know, "Lord, what's going on here? Where are you?" You know, Doug and Fred, both, they went home to be with the Lord. And we prayed for these men, and we saw God continue to strengthen and bring healing. But ultimately, he chose to take them home to be with him. In both of these situations, these storms haven't ended. For the families, they're still in that storm of grief, and this is a storm that will last a lifetime. It will take on different forms as time goes on, but it will always be there, and they will always have moments where they come and say, "Lord, I'm drowning here. Do you see me?" And Jesus is going to say, "Yeah, I'm right here. I see you, and I'm here in the midst of the storm." And there will always be another storm. We don't have just one big storm in our life. There's a lot of storms, you know, and even though these storms haven't ended and they won't, God has remained faithful in the lives of these families. He's remained faithful in Pastor Greg. We've seen his strength to continue on, to continue to pastor our church, and to be such a faithful shepherd to all of us. And, we've seen him strengthen his family through this and to continue to bless his family. God is just good. We've seen that even in the Simpson family, how God has continued to walk with them through this storm of life. You know, this year started off okay, and then COVID-19 hit very unexpectedly, and the next thing we knew, we couldn't go to church. For some of us, we lost our jobs. We couldn't go to work, and our jobs couldn't stay open, and so we lost our income. You know, some of us had to work from home, and that added more strife in our home, because it's not easy when you have to work from home, and especially if you have little children, or if you and your spouse are working both from home. It really changes the dynamics of life. In other words, our lives were just turned upside down. Other storms came out of that because we had rioting over racism and things like that. Just all this stuff that's continued to add. And, you know, just because of collectively as a body, we've had the storm of COVID-19. As individuals and individual families, we've had all kinds of different storms that have come out of COVID-19, but also storms that were already there before COVID-19 even started. And you know, in the midst of those storms, were we crying out to Jesus? Or are we just sitting in that storm not knowing what to do? You know, sometimes in the midst of our storms, we may feel like Jesus is asleep, that he isn't really seeing what's happening. But he is sovereign. He knows everything that is happening. And we're going to see through this that he has authority over everything, every storm that comes our way. You know, this is far from the truth. Jesus isn't sleeping. Jesus is in the boat with us as our storm rages around us. He's right there. His Holy Spirit is right there, guiding us, giving us wisdom, bringing direction for all the things that we need. Jesus is the perfect peace in the midst of that storm. We don't always think of there being peace in the midst of a storm, but there can be because Jesus brings us that peace. Even James says that we should count it all joy when we face trials of many kinds. There can be joy in the midst of a storm. It doesn't seem like it, but his word tells it because it perfects our faith. It helps us to persevere in our relationship and in our walk with the Lord. As long as Jesus is in the boat with us, we have nothing to fear. He sees us and he's not sleeping. Psalm 121, 3 and 4 says, "He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Number two, in going deeper, storms of life will test our faith. The best thing we can do during a storm is to cry out to Jesus. You know, again, some of the disciples were experienced fishermen, and maybe they tried everything they could to calm the other disciples in the boat, to keep the boat steady, to bring down the sails, to do whatever you do in the midst of a storm. Make sure everybody has on a life jacket. I don't know if they had that sort of thing back then, but, you know, they probably did everything before calling upon Jesus. How often are we like that? We're in the midst of a storm and we try to take matters in our own hands. You know, we want to be in control and we want to say, okay, well, what can I do? How can I fix this? And then when we're in the midst of the storm and things rage and the water's overtaking us, then we call upon Jesus. Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, do you see that I'm drowning? Well, he cared the minute that storm began. But he's waiting on us to see if our faith is going to trust, if we're going to trust him, that if our faith is going to turn our eyes towards Jesus and say, you know what, Jesus, I need you. This storm is raging and I don't know what to do and I need you. Calling out to Jesus should be the first thing that we do when we hit a storm, whether it's one that we see coming or one that comes unexpectedly. The first place we go is always to Jesus. We need to be down on our knees saying, Lord, I need wisdom. I need direction. I need to know how to navigate this storm. And I need to know, Lord, that you're beside me through this storm. There's nothing wrong with asking those kind of questions of the Lord. You know, calling out to Jesus, like I said, is the first thing you should do. And there was a time in my life when this rang so true of an example. And that was when my son-in-law, John Glyer, passed away. He's been gone 10 years now, but this day has been etched in my mind as though it were yesterday. It's something that never leaves you. And on that day, he was only 27 years old. And Pastor Greg had gotten a call from Paul and Nancy's son-in-law saying that John had passed. And so it was Pastor Greg and I went to their house to tell them. It was a daunting task, to say the least. It's not something that you want to do, but you do because you know that it's important. And so Pastor Greg had called Paul and said, "You need to come home right away. I need to talk to you and Nancy." And we happened to arrive at the house before Paul got there. And when Nancy opened the door, she looked at us and said, "Well, this can't be good if you're both here." And we walked in and sat down on a couch. And as Pastor Greg proceeded to tell Nancy that John was gone, immediately she closed her eyes and she just said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." The most horrific storm that anybody can imagine in their life. And Nancy closed her eyes so that rather than focus on her circumstances, rather than focus on what she was just told, she closed her eyes, I believe, so that she could focus on Jesus, so that she could cry out to him and say, "Jesus, Jesus, do you see I'm drowning here? Jesus, I need you." That was her first inclination. That should be our first inclination. And I know that he continues to be the one that she cries out to. As I said earlier, when you have a loss of this gravity, it never leaves you. It is there forever, and you're constantly needing to go back and saying, "Jesus, Jesus, I'm drowning here. I need you, Lord." And he comes along and he strengthens our faith and he encourages us and he gives us hope and he gives us peace and he comforts us. I know that he's doing that for Pastor Greg and his family as well. And I know that they cry out to Jesus. He should always be the first in the storms that we face. As the psalmist reminds us what we should do in Psalm 50:15, he says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." The next thing we can do during a storm is to learn from it. Before Jesus rebukes the storm, he first rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith. "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" You know, again, these guys had already seen the power and authority that Jesus had over illnesses and over demons and over sin and everything else. And yet they were still afraid, and he's calling them on their faith. When Jesus says that they're afraid, this word that he used isn't one that is used for fear, one that is, you know, the fear that we have of God, of being in awe of him. But this word is translated as timid or cowardly. In fact, it suggests a kind of fearfulness that is unbecoming or inappropriate. That's not really inappropriate because our faith casts out all fear. There should not be fear. We should not be timid. We should not be cowardly when it comes to what Jesus can do in our life. We should go boldly to the throne of Jesus, knowing that he can calm these things. He can be there with us in the midst of our storm. And about their condition, Jesus says, "You of little faith." They allowed the storm to overshadow their faith in Jesus. Again, these men had seen Jesus perform a lot of miracles, yet they didn't have the faith to trust him in the midst of this storm. How often are we like that? We've seen God perform miracles time and time again in our life. We've seen maybe small storms that have raged in our life that God has come through and been victorious. But then there's that big storm that comes along, and we just don't have the faith to believe. We lack faith in that. So what can we learn from our storms that will help keep our faith strong? You know, in the midst of our storm, as we're learning things, we're also perfecting our faith. And some of the things that we can learn is that Jesus allows storms. He allows storms to come in our life. The Lord knows what's best for us. And he wants to perfect us. He wants to test us and say, you know what? The testing of your faith will produce perseverance in you. So he allows them. He's with us in the midst of them. He's not sleeping. He's right there in the boat with us in whatever storm we're in, with waves crashing against us, tossing us to and fro, whatever it might be. He's right there in the midst. Again, he just wants us to call out to him. He's not sleeping. He's not hiding. He's right there next to us. What else can we learn from our storms? That it's an opportunity to trust him with something that he has already taught us in a previous storm. Again, we learn from what God has done before. You know, the Israelites are really good about recounting what God had done for them, how he brought them out of captivity into a land flowing with milk and honey. And they were good to remind the kids of that, their children, and train them up of all that God had done for them. Are we doing the same for our kids? Are we teaching them through the storms? Right now in this storm of COVID-19, are we teaching our children how to rely on God in this? Are we teaching them how to trust him for the things that we've lost? That, yeah, maybe we can't go and hang out with our friends like we once did, but are we teaching them to appreciate the people that we can be around? To find new and unique ways to reach out to our friends, even if it's, you know, through social media or if it's through writing out a handwritten note that we send to someone, or maybe we send somebody some flowers, or maybe we meet at a park and we still social distance, but we're able to see one another. You know, we're teaching our kids that even though things are difficult, they're not impossible because Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus will gently rebuke us in the midst of our storm, but only to help us regain our focus on his love and his sovereignty toward us. He doesn't rebuke us because he's a mean and unkind God. He rebukes us because he loves us and he wants what's best for us. He wants our faith to grow and he wants to say, I'm right here. You of little faith, come along. Come, my child, come and sit in my arms. Let me hold you. Let me assure you. Let me comfort you. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And thirdly, in going deeper, Jesus has authority and victory over our storms. Amen. That says it all right there. Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, and all was calm. And the disciples were amazed. This word amazed is another word for fear. And it's the fear that is in awe of the authority Jesus had over the wind and the waves. Are we in awe of the things that God has done in our lives? Are we in awe of the fact that our seniors, they didn't get to have their prom, they didn't get to have their graduations, but their church family came along and gave them a graduation and a celebration that was a blessing not only to them, but all who attended it? Are we in awe of how much God loved them to do that for them? Are we in awe how he continues to keep us going? Some of us were able to keep our jobs. Are we in awe how he's given us ways of rethinking how we do things so that our finances aren't so tight? Are we in awe at how he's helped us make ends meet when we couldn't see a way for those ends to be met? Are we in awe of how he's continued to keep us safe? I've had two grandchildren born during COVID-19. God kept them safe. I have a third one coming in September. God will keep them safe. He is that good of a God. Colossians 1:15-17, we are told that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus proved this when he was in the storm with his disciples, and he's able to do the same for us in the midst of the storms of life. I like the part where it says, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, God is the final authority over COVID-19. He is the final authority over whether or not we can meet in our building. He is the final authority of how we worship him. You know, we may not be able to meet in our building right now, but it doesn't stop us from worshiping him. We're able to put our sermons on our website so you can listen at home. We have home fellowships that are taking place so that we can still gather in small groups and worship our God. praise him for that. Thank him for that, that that hasn't been taken away from us. Jesus provides for us in the midst of our storms. The storms we find ourselves in are always under his control, and he is able, if it is according to his will and timing, to turn it from a raging storm to a peaceful calm. His perfect will be played out in every storm of life that we have. God's word brings calm to our hearts in the midst of the storm. Again, with just a word, Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus' word calms us when we stand on God's word. There is power in God's word. We can stand on his promises to see us through. We should be memorizing God's word. If we have a hard time memorizing, we need to be writing it down on a little card of some kind, an index card, and we can carry that with us. And when we're in the midst of our storm, we can bring that out to remind us of a promise that Jesus has given us. Maybe a promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. A promise, I am the bread of life. I will meet the needs that you have. His word will bring peace to our hearts and give us a new song to sing in praise to him. After Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples were not only amazed, but responded with, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of man is this? He is no mere man. He is the sovereign God. He is able to command even the wind and the sea to obey him. He has all authority over all of creation. He is our sovereign God. He is able to command the chaos in the midst of our storms to obey him. He is our sovereign God who calls us in the midst of the storm to trust him with the complete control of our lives and to, by faith, lean on him and his word to be our strength, our help in time of need. Now, as we apply this to our lives, I want to remind you of Jesus' word from John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world we will have storms, but God has overcome those storms. Are you being tossed back and forth today in the midst of a storm? Are circumstances out of your control? Won't you call on Jesus this morning? He's faithful even when we are lacking in faith. He is always faithful. Trust in the power and authority of his word. When he brings you through to the other side, worship him. In fact, worship him in the midst of the storm. When we worship Jesus in the midst of the storm, our faith grows. We can see a little more clearly. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's out there listening. I thank you, Lord, that you are in the midst of every storm that we find ourselves in. Whether it's COVID-19 or whether it's a personal storm within our own families, Father God, you have all authority over all these things, Lord. Increase our faith. May we trust in you. May we lay these things at your feet and not take them back. May we allow you to guide us in the midst of the storm. May we be reminded of what you've done for us before and believe that you will do it again. You are a good and sovereign God. We love you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're listening and maybe you don't know Jesus, you just need to just look to him and say, "Jesus, I need you. I'm drowning here. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you have all authority over all creation, including my life, and I want to give that authority to you. I don't want to be in charge anymore." It's just a simple prayer that you need to pray, and he will come into your heart, and he will live in you, and he will guide you, and he will protect you, and he will care for you. If that was you, I just ask that, you know, if you go under our contact tab, there's a phone number, and that's the church office. And give us a call so that we can rejoice with you. At the end of it, the emergency number is Pastor Greg, and you can even call him if you want to talk to him directly, and he will just praise God right along with you and encourage your heart at your faith in Jesus Christ. And to the rest of us, as Pastor Greg reminds us, he has shown you, man and woman, what is right, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Go and walk humbly with your God. God bless you all.